The Spirit of God is at work in Lakeview. Amen. Yeah, God is on a move here. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here. I have the privilege of speaking to you this morning, and I'm quite excited because this is my favorite time of year. I love Christmas. Is anyone else like that in the room? Does anyone else just love Christmas? I see the pessimists, denialists. We'll try and convince you by the end of my quick sermon here. But typically, the thought of Christmas is what makes winter more bearable or even enjoyable, like winter weather. But we don't seem to be having much of that, and I'm not complaining at all. There are so many things to look forward to and enjoyed. There's food and family and friends and food and more food. Oh, I just love Christmas. It's like a miracle happens at this time of year. I actually don't mind going on random, aimless shopping trips with my wife. So something switches and, oh, you want to go to the mall and walk aimlessly for no reason in particular? I would love to join you. I love my wife, Tanika. That's what Christmas does. In times when we hear of shakings and wars and rumors of wars, it brings us together on a global scale in a way that even peace accords cannot. The tidings and spirit of peace and goodwill to all people transcends litigation, treaties, and any laws. The spirit of this season is based on something higher than a law. It's based on a truth. And that truth is that Jesus came to save us from sin. That is good news. The reason for the season is the truth that Jesus came to save us from sin through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension into heaven, commissioning of the church, sending of the Holy Spirit. Over 2 millennia ago, here we are today in 2023 in Saskatoon, serving and following Jesus because he came. Can we just applaud Jesus? We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, God, the reason for the season. We sang this morning of what he's done. I'll say the lyrics of the chorus again. What he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done. Jesus accomplished his mission. That is good news. That is the goodest news. That is the good news, and that's the reason for the season. And for over 2,000 years, it's proven difficult to avoid the ripple effects of this good news. We even see the ways in which our broader culture has been shaped and affected by the message of hope, peace, love, and joy. At the beginning of the month, Paul spoke on hope. And last week, Darlene beautifully unpacked the theme of peace. And this week of Advent, we're exploring the theme of joy. So music is really dear to me. I have the privilege of serving as a worship pastor here. And I know music is dear to pretty much all of us. The fact that sound waves can reach our ears and cause our eardrums to vibrate and the tiny bones inside to vibrate, and our brains and our minds and our bodies interpret that as something profound and beautiful, to me, is one of God's greatest gifts to us. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who uses music to form soundtracks to seasons or even emotions. You put on a certain song when you're getting ready and you want to feel good and look good. You put on a certain song if you're working out. You don't play the same music that you're trying to set a romantic atmosphere to whilst you're lifting weights in a gym, or music plays a key role. And Christmas is no exception to this. So, because we have the children here today, I wanted to test our knowledge of some Christmas music with some Christmas classics. And I need everyone's help. So, help me finish these lines, okay? I'm going to play a snippet from a song and we're going to finish the phrase together. Is that okay? Even if it's not okay, I have the clicker, I've got the fancy mic. We're gonna do it anyway. So here's the first one. See if you can finish the song. Here we go.
Oh, the weather outside
finish the line.
Is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys can sing. Easy peasy. Okay, very good. That was Let It Snow by Frank Sinatra. Sinatra obviously didn't live in Saskatchewan. Who would sing such a thing? But that's okay. Okay, we have another one. So see if you can, see if this one works. Kids, see if you can help us finish the line, okay?
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it,
wow, I'm impressed. That's a deep cut. That's some inside knowledge there. Very good. That was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, another Christmas classic. Okay, here's one more. And this one is really quick, okay, kids? So you've got to be quick. And let's see if you can get this one.
It's the most
wonderful. Oh, okay, easy peasy. Very good. Give yourselves a hand. Well done, Lakeview. You know, if you look around, you can see who hates Christmas music by the steam coming out of their ears right now. Just kidding. That was the last one. 3-0, A+. That was another Christmas classic by Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So I purposely chose non-church music to demonstrate how the ripple effects of the good news of Christmas, which is the gospel of Jesus, spill over into culture. This is happy, feel-good, joyful music. Since 1963, this smash hit, the world has been describing the season as the most wonderful time of the year. The definition of the word wonderful is inspiring delight, pleasure, or admiration. Extremely good, marvelous. Synonyms include miraculous, glorious, heavenly. The birth of Jesus was miraculous, glorious, and heavenly. This is a season where we celebrate heaven coming to earth. Kids, here's a video to remind us of the Christmas story and what happened when Jesus was born. Let's take a look.
When it was time for the baby to be born, Joseph and Mary traveled to a place called Bethlehem.
Was that a long ways away?
It was, and they got there by...
a donkey! That must have been hard.
I think so. And on top of that, when they got to Bethlehem, they suddenly needed a place for Mary to have the baby.
Oh! Did they look for a hospital?
They didn't have hospitals back then.
What about a palace? I mean, the Son of God should be born in the best place, right?
Well...
Or the best hotel?
All the inns were full.
So, what did they do?
Since all the inns were full, Mary had her baby in...
A barn?
A barn. The blessing that Israel had been awaiting for almost 2,000 years was born in a... a barn.
Oh, my!
Mary didn't have her baby in a fancy palace or a nice warm inn. Nope. Jesus was born in a stinky, smelly barn, next to cows and sheep and goats and chickens. The promised blessing for the whole world had finally come, but he didn't arrive quite the way people expected.
He didn't arrive quite the way that people expected. Isn't that crazy, kids? Born in a barn. This is a season where we celebrate heaven coming to earth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in a barn. The King of Glory, the King of Heaven, came to earth, and this King brought joy to the world. Indeed, Jesus is the hope of the nations. He's the peace of the nations. Jesus is the joy of the nations. Here's another piece of music. In 1661, Martin Janus penned the words in German, Jesus bleibt meine Freude, meines Herzen Trost und Saft. Don't quote me on that. It's where else will you get the British Jamaican guy speaking German in the middle of Canada? It's only Lakeview, right? In English, this means Jesus remains my joy, the consolation and comfort of my heart. These lyrics were later translated in their entirety by Robert S. Bridges. In 1723, these lyrics were taken and added to a musical arrangement by Johann Sebastian Bach and became Bach's famous composition, one of my personal favorite melodies of all time, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. Take a listen. Here are the words. Jesu, joy of man's desiring, holy wisdom, love most bright, drawn by thee, our souls aspiring, soar to uncreated light. Word of God, our flesh that fashioned, with the fire of life impassioned, striving still to truth unknown, soaring, dying around thy throne. Through the way where hope is guiding, hark, what peaceful music rings, where the flock in thee confiding drink of joy from deathless springs. Theirs is beauty's fairest pleasure, theirs is wisdom's holiest treasure. Thou dost ever lead thine own in the love of joys unknown. That's such an anointed song. It changes an atmosphere when it's played. This is a song of joy. This is a season of joy. This Advent season, we've been exploring the story and role of Mary, the young lady, a humble servant, chosen to carry Jesus in her womb, chosen to carry Jesus in her belly. Kids, can you imagine? God, the creator of everything, the one who is so big and immeasurable, God, the creator of the universe, came as a little baby in his mom's belly. What an awe-inspiring thought. In Eastern Christianity, one of the titles used for Mary, as introduced by Paul at the beginning of the month, is Theotokos, which means God-bearer. We often hear of babies described as bundles of joy. Mary was literally carrying the joy of the world. The painting on the screen was created in 2020 by Mexican artist Bernardo Ramanfor. When asked about the painting and his artistic approach, Bernardo said, I'm more interested in touching people's spirits instead of just eyes. This is a painting of, entitled Mother and Child, Mary and Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we're given an account of Mary's angelic encounter before the birth of Jesus. And I quote, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. By the grace of God, a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit coming upon her, she was carrying the joy of the nations, and he came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, a little bundle of joy, and he was a baby. He was actually a baby. He ate. He needed his diaper changed. I'm sure he cried. He played with his food. Probably got up to mischief. He needed to take naps. He was a child. He was truly Emmanuel, God with us, yet without sin. God, one of us. Jesus, true God and true man. This truth is also referred to as the hypostatic union, the belief that Christ has become fully human to share his full divinity with humanity. And this is good news. This is cause for joy. Why, you ask? Because our salvation depends on it. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus had to be both God and man. As God in his perfection, Jesus could satisfy God's wrath. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. As a man, Jesus had the capability of being born, the reason for the season. And it also meant that he could die. As the God-man, Jesus is the perfect mediator between heaven and earth. This is the season we celebrate heaven coming to earth. The author of Hebrews encourages us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Jesus is so worthy. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. For some of us, this may not be a time of joy. For some of us, Christmas may be a time that invokes feelings of stress and anxiety and being overwhelmed. The shopping, the traveling, feeling forced and pressured to spend time with people who may not be your favorite people. They may not be your most life-giving relationships, to put it politely. Some of us can't stand consumerism, the spending sprees, all covered over with a big fake plastic smile. And then there's the music, right? For those of us who don't like Christmas. For some of us, Christmas is a painful reminder of loss. The ending of a relationship that should have lasted. The ending of a job or a business. The loss of a loved one. A friend, a family member, a spouse. I just want to name that if this resonates for you, if you've lost someone this year or during the season, Darlene, our family formation pastor, has set up a Remembering You station. It's in a corner of our lobby, tucked away near the front doors. It's beside the windows at the entrance. Take some time to write down a memory, to journal, to take an ornament from one of the trees there, and take some time to simply remember. For some of us, joy can seem like a stretch. But family, be encouraged. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high..." "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tested and tempted as we are, yet Jesus was without sin." Jesus wept. He was betrayed by his best friend. He was misunderstood, falsely accused. He had to deny himself, his own desires, his own pleasures, his own will. He was beaten. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Our high priest gets it. Jesus gets it. Oh, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Because Jesus sorrowed, we can have joy this season. I'll say that again. Because Jesus sorrowed, we can have joy this season. As I end, I'd like to invite the worship team to come and join me. Mary, the Theotokos, carried joy. Though stigmatized, ostracized, criticized, judged, she carried joy. She carried the joy of the world. We are called to do the same this season. Family, how can you bring joy to someone else this season? For example, you think of someone like Darlene. She enjoys gardening and flowers and plants. If you think of Paul, he loves hockey. He loves watching hockey, playing hockey, talking about hockey, especially the Edmonton Oilers. That's his favorite team in the whole wide world. Curtis loves spreadsheets and Microsoft Excel and just straight lines in general. So I don't know. He's gone on sabbatical so we can get our digs in. How can you bring joy to someone else's season? How can we bring the joy of the good news of Jesus to someone else? Take this as a call to action this morning. To buy that extra gift for that person you know needs it. To spend extra time in prayer for that person you know needs it. Maybe it's a card or kind words of affirmation. Babysitting. Taking that annoying 2-hour drive to those annoying cousins. That's just hypothetical. That is not a real thing. Whatever it is, Lakeview, let us bring the joy of Jesus to someone this Christmas. Amen.